Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of the holiest week in the church calendar as we celebrate Christ's passion, his death, and resurrection for you and for your salvation. Whether you realize it or not, we reference Palm Sunday in each divine service when we are participating in the service of the sacrament. In the Sanctus, when we sing aloud the praise from those first Palm Sunday crowds as the King made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we sing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus' entry into the city was full of all the pomp and grandeur that you would expect for a king, but it was opposite and conflicting in a way. You see, Jesus is not an ordinary king. Historically, kings would have come riding into town mounted on the finest stallion, dressed in their armor as they returned from war. King Jesus comes dressed ordinary and humble, mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey, on his way coming back from teaching and healing the wounded and dying sinners. Historically, kings were surrounded by dozens of mounted soldiers and many more on foot who would clear the way ahead for the king, keeping friends and enemies alike at bay. King Jesus is surrounded by everyday, ordinary people, citizens who are spreading their coats and palm leaves on the road ahead of him. Kings of the world would have been returning from conquering a nation, bringing captives from the battlefield, chained, about to throw them into prison. But King Jesus didn't come to conquer any nations. He came to overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil. Jesus came to free those chained and in the prison of their own sin and transgression. And unlike every other king, Jesus didn't come to live and rule over an earthly kingdom. Jesus came to die. The mood of that day would change quickly. Jesus enters the city riding on the back of a donkey. He would leave the city with a cross riding on his own back. He enters the city to shouts of, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He would be led from the city to shouts of, "Crucify him." They shouted, "Hosanna," which is the Hebrew word for "save us now." And at the end of the week, the people would be mocking him with shouts, "He saved others, he cannot save himself." You see, King Jesus was not the Savior that the people expected or the Savior that they wanted. His words, his miracles, his teachings, the Old Testament text, all pointed to him as Messiah. But they didn't want that Messiah. They wanted a Savior of their own design. And 2,000 years later, things haven't changed a bit. You and me, with our sinful flesh, still do not want a Savior like Jesus. You and I want to be in charge. We want to be captains of our own ship and have control of our destiny. You want to believe that you are better than your neighbor. You scratch and claw and forsake others as you try to get ahead in this life. And what you want is a God who will help you achieve those goals. Live the abundant life. Live the high life. So that you no longer have to serve others, but the others serve you. I have a picture in my office at home of Jesus as he's being nailed to the cross. It's drawn at a peculiar angle. It is drawn so that it depicts that the one looking at the drawing is the one nailing Jesus to the cross. So as you look at this painting, you or me are the ones who are driving the nails into Jesus' wrists. And with each strike of the hammer onto the nail, Jesus' eye is staring right back at you. Not in anguish, not in anger, certainly not in condemnation. But he looks at you with love and compassion. And this, my friends, is why the King of Glory left glory and became man. Even while you still nail his hands and his feet to the cross, Jesus loves you. While you're still a sinner, Christ dies for you. You and I are nothing, but we still want it all. Christ Jesus has it all. He is the creator of all. Yet he became nothing for sinners such as you and me. The words of St. Paul, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is God's servant, who's come to do the will of his Father. For 3 years in the flesh of man, he traveled through Galilee and Israel, saving sinners and preaching the good news of salvation. With his life-saving gospel, he still saves sinners today. Although on the cross, or in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He still concluded the prayer by saying, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus knew, riding into town, what awaited him at the end of the week. But his face was set like a flint. The Lamb of God goes forth uncomplaining, lowly, obedient, and humble, only to be met with abuse. Your King Jesus was slapped, he was beaten and spit upon, suffering all while submitting to the obedience of his Father's will. This is Jesus' work of salvation, and he did it all on your behalf. If mankind were to be saved from their sins, from the wages of their sin, someone had to pay the debt and suffer all of God's wrath for unrighteousness. No, Jesus didn't come in the flesh to conquer nations, but he came to overcome the world. He came to give his life for you as a ransom, freeing you from your chains that bind you to your sin and transgression, freeing you from the prison of eternal damnation. After Jesus gave up his spirit, St. John records that one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. The early church fathers saw this as pointing to the sacraments. The water from Jesus' side flowing into the font, the blood from his side flowing into the chalice of the Lord's Supper. In the 4th century, St. Augustine wrote, "From Jesus' side have flowed forth the sacraments of the church, without which there is no entrance to the life which is the true life." Jesus won all sorts of gifts on Calvary's cross for you, and he delivers them in humble, ordinary means. He delivers them to you in word and sacrament. The gospel of Jesus still proclaims the power of salvation for all who believe. As you heard earlier, as the ladies were baptized, St. Peter writes that just as God preserved Noah and his family, 8 souls in all through the flood waters, baptism now saves you. And as you partake of the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives you his very own body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Sometimes we wish we were there to witness what happened 2,000 years ago. But we do have eyewitness testimony of Jesus' triumphal entry, his crucifixion, and many people who attested to the fact that he was risen from the grave. By the grace of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, you know and believe in that God-man Jesus, who was crucified and risen from the grave for you. You know that he truly is the Son of God, just like the centurion witnessed. The Son of God, you know, came to take away your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and grant you eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.